Oh, what a chance we have right here.
Amen, brother.
And I'm glad. I thank you all for helping. But help.
Here's one of these girls that comes to my class every week. We just prayed for some friends of hers in there a minute ago. She's a blessing. Go ahead.
I want to thank the Lord for blessing me and my family. And I'm glad that He is in my life. Amen.
Amen. That's a good testimony. Amen. Hey, babe.
Hey, guys. Maybe y'all saw me. I don't know. I've been here for 12 years.
Yeah,
I've been a bus
you.
Kid for 12 years. everybody saw me change from the little girl to the woman I am today.
Amen.
Y'all saw my hard times where my aunt died. She was like my best friend, and kids getting took away from me. And I would not be here if it was not for God. I'm putting that as it
Amen.
Is. I'm not saying it just because I'm in church and it's Sunday. I'm saying it because it actually happened. If it wasn't for God and me praying every day, I would not be here.
Amen.
I just want to say thank you.
Amen.
Go ahead, Jared. Amen, buddy.
Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders.
Yes.
His name shall be called
Wonderful,
Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Amen. That's good, ain't it? We're ready? I've got another verse.
John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Alright, we're going to wish you guys a Merry Christmas. Amen. Hit it, Miss Desi. Hold on just a second. We wish you a Merry Christmas. Loud. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. And a All right, let's do it a cappella one time, Miss Desi. Hold on just a second. I don't think you can hear them or they can hear you. All right. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. All right, y'all come on down. Amen.
Amen. Let's give them a big hand this morning. Isn't that a blessing?
All right, go Junior Church. Come on.
Listen, if it wasn't for people giving and working the bus route, they'd never be in church this morning. Come on, y'all. Every one of them's precious to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you need to get into bus ministry. That's your New Year's resolution. Amen. Whoa.
I'm going to...
Going the wrong way.
Amen. Hello.
Hello.
There we go. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Now listen, we need help in the bus ministry. You want to give back to your community? Don't be no elk or moose or goose or some lion, some fool, something like that. Get in business of eternity. Getting something where to make a difference for eternity. Them men that wear them little trash cans on their head raise money for burned children. That's ain't nothing wrong with helping people that are getting burned, but we're keeping them getting burned forever. You can't get in any greater work. You can't do anything better than helping somebody stay out of hell. And that's what the bus ministry is and does. Now, I wouldn't want to go to church that didn't have a bus ministry. I mean that. That's the greatest arm of outreach in America for a church is the bus ministry. We're always needing buses. We're always needing drivers. If you, some of you men, go get your license, be a substitute driver. We had a driver out this morning. And, you know, they get sick. They have stuff that comes up. So we need help in the bus ministry. And it's not because you're not called to the bus ministry. There's no such thing as a calling. Somebody said, well, I'm not called to the bus ministry. I ain't either. And I've been in it for 30 years. You do it because there's a need and because the Lord said, go into all the world. You don't have to, you know, if your daddy told you to take out trash when you was little and you said, I don't feel led, you'd feel led the time he got done with you, wouldn't you? You don't have to feel led to do what God's already told us to do. Amen? That's right. You don't have to pray about doing what God's already said to do. All right? Amen, brother. Boy, hadn't lost his Bible there. Amen. But I appreciate that. Appreciate all the ones that work the bus ministry. faithfully, rain or shine, sleet, snow, hot weather, 4th of July, it don't matter. Right on through. We had Christmas on Christmas Day. It was on Sunday. Somebody said, nobody won't go to church on Christmas. We had a crowd that big on Christmas Day a couple years ago. And don't tell me they won't. People will. They're hungry for God, they will. Now, we want you to enjoy yourself today, get a blessing. We will be having service Wednesday night. If you have relatives out of town and you go spend family time, that's between you and the Lord. But the rest of us is coming to church. And I want to be here for the Lord, enjoy the Lord and His blessings. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, we're going to have a special Christmas service. There'll be people from other churches come because their church isn't having it and they want to go to church. And so don't miss that. Wednesday night, come praying. You'll done have all your food eaten, all your gifts open, and done mad and everything else. So come and you can get your heart right. Also, don't forget our trip to Alabama. If you are not signed up for our Alabama trip, the sign-up sheet is right there. And we're leaving on Wednesday morning, January the 1st, for 3 days, 1, 2, 3, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, for a youth camp in Alabama. It's growing. It's getting bigger and bigger. I mean, it's looking like maybe 150 something going to be there. And so all the kids, they're from Florida. The Alabama kids are going to be there. We're excited about it. I wouldn't miss that for nothing. So if you're not signed up for the Alabama trip, get on the list today. Okay? Lord will bless you for it. And then Saturday, we're going visiting this Saturday, last Sunday of the year, last weekend of the year is this year. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to say, when it gets 2014, I'm going to shout and thank God 2013's over. It's been one of the hardest years we've ever had. Glory to God, it's about done, amen, and the devil ain't won yet. I don't believe he's going to. But it's been a rough year, I'm telling you what. But by God's grace, we've made it through, and we'll make it through the rest of them by His grace. Amen. I tell you what we're going to do now. Let's take just a minute to be friendly. Everybody stand, turn around and fellowship. The usher's going to come. We'll have our offering right quick. Everybody stand. Turn around there and be friendly to that person around you. Ushers, come on. Almost 160 on the buses today, 159. And that's a blessing. That's wonderful. Thank God for it. We believe in it. You know, the preacher's got to believe in it. If he ain't got it in his heart, it ain't going to get in people's heart. And so I believe in it. You don't have to worry about that. We'll run them things, and they won't run no more by God's grace. All right, let's have another Christmas song. Everybody get your hymn book and stand. Let's sing this morning.
Hey, man, let's all sing Joy to the World together this morning. Hey, man.
Amen. Amen. I like that.
The Lord, thank God, the Lord Jesus came. He didn't just stay a baby. He died for our sins. Rose again on the third day. Amen. And that's what we're singing about this morning. 408. Amen. Let's all sing it together this morning. Amen.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every prepare room. Amen. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing.
Amen. All right. He rules the world.
He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations fruit. The glories of
singing
righteousness. Wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders, wonders of His love.
Amen.
Amen. Play practice. All right. I think those that are in the adult play, all evening, right? All evening. All, y'all know what to be here. And then the kids. Right after church, the teenagers. Right after the morning service up here. And then the little kids. 5, did you say? 5 o'clock. Terry said 5 o'clock. Andy said right after church, his group. And the adults are all evening. Now, you going to bring your family tonight, ain't you? Everybody done called Mama and everybody and say, you got to come tonight because Pee-wee's going to be in the play.
And so you don't want to miss it tonight. Call them all. Say, you come and see them kids in that play like you got some sense. I mean, put the guilt trip on them. Make them feel bad if they don't come tonight. I'm just kidding in a way. All right, let's open the Bible to the book of Luke, chapter number 2. The book of Luke, chapter number 2. The Christmas story here this morning. I hit a little bit of a different slant here today than I did before. Luke, chapter number 2. This is the most famous Christmas passage of anyone in the Bible. And I want to look at a verse that everybody here knows about. But I want to show it to you this morning. Verse number 1, Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days. You can't even hear that without thinking of Charlie Brown, can you? That's really in the Bible. They took it out of the Bible. That there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Notice that. The Holy Spirit don't waste any words. When taxes start going up, the Lord always does something. That's a sign. A sign that something big is going to happen is taxes going up. Amen. Why did he put that in there, time of great taxing? Why did he put a time of warm weather? Why didn't he put a time of some kind of heathen celebration? Taxing. He put that in there to show you when Jesus come the first time, they were raising taxes every day. Ridiculous raising taxes. Not just your average, not just going up a little bit every year. Like that, all of a sudden. And it said, all the world should be taxed. Got one world government. One world government. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed. Everyone to his own city. And Joseph, that's the Lord saying, you ain't got nowhere to go. Just sit in here and listen for a minute. Also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. They weren't married yet. They were only engaged. Being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She got ready to have this baby while they was going to Bethlehem to be taxed. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him. There's where you get wrapping your presents. Ain't that Bible something? Every verse you hit it something else. And swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn, the motel. There was no room for them in the inn. I will preach this morning on the subject, do you have room for him? Do you have room for him? Sad to say this morning, most people make no room for Jesus in their life. Wouldn't you agree with that? Say amen. If you don't believe it, invite them to church. Well, I got this and I do this and I go here and I go there and I'm this and I'm in this group and I'm on this ball team and I'm on that and I'm that group and I go here and I work on that. And they have room for everything else but Jesus. The Bible said that they came to the Bethlehem that night. Here's Mary. We picture them on, you know, donkey and stuff like that. I don't know about all that. But anyway, they came. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, was great, about ready to have this baby. And they came, and she said, Joseph, or something like this, it's time. This baby is coming. And now Joseph, he is a man, he could have toughed it out. But he said, my wife's getting ready to have a baby. I've got to get her a nice place to stay. So there's a motel there. And they go up, knock on the door, and they come. This man comes to the door, and they said, we'd like a room. In the Christmas place, he says, my wife's getting ready to have a child. We need a place. And the man takes one look at him and says, we don't have any room. No room for them. So that's how they wound up in the manger in the stable where Jesus was born. The man didn't have any room for him. Don't you know the Holy Spirit put that in the Bible because that would typify how people treat Jesus throughout history. No room for him. It's amazing we make room for everything else. I'll never forget, I've told you this story before. One night me and these boys came back from Florida, long time ago. I mean, I was probably 20, 21 years old, and we just got saved. We went down there and helped some guy start a mission in West Palm Beach. We was driving all the way back from Florida, and we come through this town, and I looked out the window, or sat through the window, and I said, "Hold it!" I saw somebody laying on the side of the road. A man. I said, "I think that's a person." And the guy driving stopped, backed up the car, and we looked, and I said, "Sure enough, there was a man laying on the side of the road." And I opened the window and I said, "Hey!" And he jumped up like that and come over to the window, and I rolled the window down about that far and said, "You all right, buddy?" He said, "No, I don't." And he started just talking. And we said, "You need a ride?" He said, "Yeah." And we said, "Get in." We put him in the back seat. And there was another guy in the back seat. This guy in the back seat, we all just got saved. We all wanted to be soul winners. I'm telling you, we witnessed a signpost, brother. We'd witness anything that moved. And the boy in the back seat talking about, "What's your name?" He tells his name. "Where are you going?" "I'm going wherever you're going." "We're going to North Carolina." We're somewhere down in the lower part of Georgia. We drove up that interstate that night. And that guy in the back seat, he sat there and he said, "You believe this? You believe that?" Took him down the whole Roman road. And he said, yep, he prayed with him and he got saved. About 10 miles down the road, they said, "Did you really get saved?" "I don't know." He go through the whole Roman road again. He went through, I don't know how many times that night that guy got saved. I mean, hours and hours of that. Kept us awake. And he talked to that guy and talked to that guy and talked to that guy. And we got to talking up there and he said, "You know, the Bible said that some entertain angels unaware." They said, "What if he was an angel? That guy might have been an angel. We picked up an angel." And the guy in the back seat quickly deflated our tire and said, "Angels don't drink, I don't think." And we said, you're right. Wasn't no angel. Wasn't no angel. He's drunk. But anyway, we took that guy to a motel that night. And if it was, it was a drunk angel. But anyway, we took it to a motel that night. We stopped at the little motel. And it wasn't much. It's about like getting up yonder at that next exit. And we went there and knocked on this door. And they went with about 8 cars in the parking lot. And the man took one look at him directly and said, "We're going to buy this man a room. We're going to put all our money together and get him a room." And they wouldn't let him stay there. And I thought about all this world. They'll take a look at you and say, "You're not dressed right, or you smell bad, or we don't want your kind." The world looks at Jesus like that. Years ago, up in Baltimore, back in the late 1700s, there's this real big fancy motel, inn, as they called them then. And like we'd call a bed and breakfast or something, but that's the way they were back then. It was real fancy and real expensive, and it was real nice. And this old a farmer dressed in overalls and dirty came and wanted a room at that inn. And the man come and told him, he said, "We don't have any rooms." And he knew it. They knew he did. There's rooms everywhere. He said, "We don't have any rooms. Go on. And wouldn't accept. You know what he was? It was Thomas Jefferson, the vice president of the United States. He had been on a job. He was dressed like a farmer. And he told him, "I want a room." They said, "We don't have room for you." When the man that run the motel found out it was Thomas Jefferson, he sent him a letter and said, "Mr. Jefferson, we apologize. We are so sorry. If we'd only known it was you, we would have let you in. If we'd only known, you're welcome to stay at our motel anytime." Thomas Jefferson wrote him back and said, "If you don't have room for a dirty American farmer, you don't have room for the President of the United States." How perfect of an illustration of that. The Bible said he came to his own and his own received him not. Listen, this world this morning, they don't have no use for Jesus Christ. If you don't believe it, go out there and say anything. One school out in Colorado or somewhere the other day, they sang "Silent Night, Holy Night, All is Calm, All is Bright, Christ the Savior is born." Left it out. Would not say "Christ the Lord." That's part of our heritage. That's part of a song. They would not even say His name in a school because afraid somebody might complain. Ladies and gentlemen, the world has no room for Him. Let me ask you a question. Have you made room for Jesus? Is Jesus Christ in your heart? Is He first place in your life? I'm talking to you Christians this morning. Have you Christians got yourself so busy? You're going here, you're going there, you're doing this, you're going that. Listen, the best thing could happen to a lot of people is them to lose about everything they've got. They've not turned back to God and not get right with God. There ain't nothing wrong with having a lot. There ain't nothing wrong with being blessed. But if you can't serve God with it, you don't deserve it. I'm telling you, brother, we need to make room for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You got room for ball games, but you don't have room for Jesus. Amazing how you can make time for them games, isn't it? But you have no time. You have no time to be. You got money for everything else, but you have no money for Jesus. You have time to watch a movie, but you don't have time to pray. You have time to go shopping or to go eat, but you have no time to knock on a door or tell somebody about the Lord. You are not having room for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Bible said there's three stages in life. And there's youth, and then there's adulthood, middle age, and then there's old age. I ain't going to attempt to put a number on them, but I'm going to try to talk about those three stages this morning. And the Bible said there's three things that will get you: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You know, the Bible said all three of them things are not of God. You know what Hollywood is? It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You know, when they come out here and say, here's so-and-so going to present this Grammy Award, and they come out, and, oh, you know, like out here, here's the Grammy Award, anyone? That's the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but is of this world. That whole Hollywood scene, that whole Grammy, Emmy, all that was, that whole scene, brother, has no room for Jesus Christ. We are us, we are us, we are it, we are wonderful, we are great. No room for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you what our attitude here this morning. Our attitude here this morning is, we're sinners. We deserve to be in hell. He's first place. He deserves all the glory. He deserves all the praise. I don't deserve nothing. You don't deserve nothing. He deserves it all this morning. And the Bible says, there's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And then it said there's the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. When you're young, it's the world. When you're middle-aged, it's the flesh. And when you're old, it's the devil. Have you made room for Jesus? Give me down just one hair on this and says, listen to this. Ladies and gentlemen, when you're young, it's the world. You know, when young people growing up, they're so attracted by the world. When young people come up, they think, man, have you seen this? Have you seen that? Oh, my goodness, look at that. There's this, there's that, there's Hollywood, there's Disney World, there's the world. Rock and roll, music, movie stars, athletes. Wow! The world will attract you when you're young. When we were growing up, if you're not careful, you'll begin to think this world is all there is. And you'll start thinking that's all that's important. So the devil uses the world on you while you're young. You want to live your own life. You want freedom. You just want you. Well, you got to talk to a young person. I talk to them. Well, why don't you get saved? And they'll say, I'm young. I want to do what I want to do right now. When I get older, I'll go to the altar. I'll get saved. I'm going to live wild now. I'm going to shack up. I'm going to do drugs. I'm going to get drunk. I'm going to do what I want to do. And that's your biggest temptation as a young person, the world being attractive to you. Listen, they say that the average young person spends enough time on a computer or a cell phone to read the Bible through 22 times a year. 22 times a year. Now, next Sunday, being the last Sunday of the year, we're going to have everybody stand up here since we won't have a Watch Night service this year. And that's read the Bible through this year. And I'll show you who's made room for Jesus. I've had several people say, Brother Danny, I finished my Bible. Brother Danny, I finished my Bible. Brother Danny, I finished my Bible. Make room for him. You say, I don't have time for that. Well, let's total up your texting time and your internet time, and we'll see how much time you've got. You just won't make room for him. Well, I done finished my Bible, and I'll get my New Testament twice this year, and I've done that every year for about 17 or 18 years in a row, and then a bunch of times before that, I've got my Old Testament, New Testament about 80 something times. I'm not talking about studying it, I'm talking about reading it, just reading it right through. And the Old Testament about 30 times, something like that, and or somewhere around in there. And ladies and gentlemen, every time I read that Bible, there's something jerks up out at me. Every time I read way back yonder in Ezra, or way over there in Nahum, or in Habakkuk, you'll be reading along, you think this ain't making a bit of sense, and all of a sudden, a verse will just jump out there and get you. The Lord will bless you. Way back there in First Chronicles somewhere, it's so-and-so, we got so-and-so, and so-and-so, we got so-and-so, and so-and-so, we got so-and-so, and then all of a sudden it'll say, and the Lord blessed him. And it'll just hit me right there in the heart. And the Lord blessed him. You know what God does? He blesses people who make room for Him while they're young. You say, well, I'm young. I don't have time to read the Bible. I read it when I was young. I'm tired of young people saying, well, I'm just a teenager. I was preaching revivals when I was 19. Don't give me this baloney of you're young. Well, I'm first revival I ever preached over yonder, over on the other side of Hendersonville. And I went in there when I was 19 years old. You'd have thought I was 12. I ain't kidding you. I walked in there with my Bible and sat down, and they looked at me like, he's the preacher? And all the teenagers were crowding around. They was laughing and cutting up with us and everything. Boy, I got up there and I preached as hard as I could every night. Man, I tell you, I preached my head off. I worried myself sick. I prayed all day long. I got up and I preached the week. And by the time that first week, the Friday night, I was backslid. I thought, Lord, I can't do this. It's killing me. Thank God this is over. My throat was hurting. I was wore out. I said stuff I didn't even know was right. I preached everything I knew, but stuff I didn't know. It like kill me. That revival, like, you ought to try it sometime. Try to preach. Try to say, get something fresh every night for 5 nights and keep people's attention, and the Holy Ghost falls and people get saved. Try it sometime. You that complain about me repeating myself once in a while, y'all try it sometime. You can't even sing Amazing Grace without looking at the book. I'm supposed to get up here and ad-lib and never say the same thing twice to get my tongue tangled up. I preached that first week, and the Lord blessed, and I said, glory to God, I'm glad that's over with. And the preacher got up and said, boy, this has been so good, we're going to go another week. And I went, we went 2 weeks. First revival I ever preached. I said, no, I can't do this. I come back Monday night and I screamed my head off. I said, this ain't working, man. It's killing me. I'd hate to have to do this all the time. Of course, now I've done it all the time now. I go 7 weeks in a row now, and I'm just, you get tough after a while or something. Your hide gets tough. It's like running. You learn how to pace yourself. You can't just take off 90 miles an hour. You'll give out. You got to pace yourself. And ladies and gentlemen, I made time for the Lord. I ain't been perfect, but I made room for Jesus. How about you this morning? How about you teenagers? Have you made room for the Lord? Is He in your heart? Is He? Are you sure? Do you know it? The best Christmas you'll ever have is knowing you've made room for Jesus. Then you move into another time of life called middle age. I won't define what middle age is. It's always a little bit older than what you are. People's 30 say 35 middle age, and people's 35 say 40 is middle age, and people's 40 say 45 middle age. Pretty soon, 80 will be middle age, and ain't no old age. You keep pushing it up as you get older. But anyway, they say that middle age is when everything falls off, falls out, or falls down. One fella said, he said, gravity finally won. My whole body's just moving toward the ground. You just start sagging. You ought to hang upside down for a while, every day. That'd be good for you, so you won't just sag to the floor. And brother, listen, middle age is when you reach that point in life where you're making a living, you're working hard, you've bought your house, you've figured out who you are, you've got your family, you're paying your bills, you're 35, you're 40, you're 45, you're 50, and you're in that time where, guess what? You go back and talk to that man, he still ain't got room for Jesus. Why didn't you get saved when you was young? Well, I was busy having fun. Well, how come you ain't saved now? Saved now. I'm making a living. I ain't got time for the Lord. I work 6 days a week. Sunday's the only day I have to rest. And I'm going to rest on Sunday. No room for Jesus Christ. It's just like Joseph knocked on your door and said, you got room? And you said, no room for him. My life is full. I play golf on Sunday. I go visit relatives on Sunday. I don't make room for him. Ladies and gentlemen, when you're middle-aged, it's the world. When you're young, it's the flesh when you're middle-aged. Amen? Amen? That's right. If I come in here this morning and I laid down $1 million cash right there,
woo! Glory to God, hallelujah. I struck it rich.
Where'd that come from? Hey, man, must be a Christmas present. No, I know what that is now. It's tape money. But anyway, if I laid down $1 million cash this morning and I said, will you trade your soul for that $1 million? You know there's people that do it. Plenty of them. Plenty of them. People say, yeah, you give me that $1 million, Satan, you can have my soul. They sell out to the devil for less than that. So, when this $1 million is gone, and your life's gone, then payday comes. Then payday comes. And I'm telling you this morning, middle-aged people don't get saved because of the lust of the flesh. And then finally, you move to old age. You ever watch a person go through life when they're young? I don't have room for him. I'm young, having fun. Then you go back and see them when they're 40. I don't have room for them. I'm paying my bills, making a living. Go back and see them when they're 60 and 70 and 80. You know what they say? Still don't have room for him. Why not? I just don't. It's the pride of life. The devil. You see, here's something people don't realize. Don't miss what I'm getting ready to tell you. Here's something people don't realize. Every time you say no to God, your heart gets just a little bit harder. And a little bit harder. You think, oh, I can run back to Him anytime I want to. Even you Christians, every time you sin against God deliberately, your heart gets harder and harder, and the Spirit of God leaves you, and you feel less and less and less of God in your heart. That's why they save people all over this country and in this church here this morning that can't feel no blessings and can't get no... Because you're living wrong. You're living in sin. Deliberate sin will keep God's blessings off you. You say, well, I don't ever feel nothing. I don't feel nothing at church or nothing. There ain't one thing to stop you from doing that. Sin. Sin, brother. And old age keeps you from sinning. Let me show you something here this morning. Show you something. You don't believe I'm telling the truth? You'd think that all old people get saved, wouldn't you? You would think that you go into a rest home and there are 75 old people. How many of you wants to go to heaven? You'd think everybody in there would raise their hand. Try it sometime. The truth is, it's easier back there in the junior church than it is in a rest home. Amen. I've been preaching since I was 19 years old, and I've seen thousands of people saved, and I could count on one hand the ones that was over 70. 19 out of 20 people get saved before they're 21. You want me to prove it? How many of you in here this morning got saved before the age of 21? Would you raise your hand, please? That 95%. How come people don't? You know why? If you say no to the Lord when you're young, and then you go through middle-aged life and preacher knocks on your door and you say, no, I ain't got time, I'm busy, I'm paying my bill. When you get to old age, your heart's so hard, you won't say yes to Him. This is a true story. They called me one time years ago, and they said, there's a man in an Asheville hospital, preacher, said, we want you to go see him. They said, maybe you can win him to God. They said, he's got hours to live. I drove to Asheville, went in the hospital, found his room, walked back there to him. I'm not going to tell you his last name. Some of y'all might know him. He was about 75 years old. I said, how you doing? I'm Danny Castle. I'm from Marion, and I want to talk to you. I was the sixth preacher that had been to see that man. Six of them. And I said, sir, the Lord died for you. Jesus is coming back. Heaven's real. Hell's real. And I told him how to be saved. And I said, you want to be saved? And you know what he told me? He said, not now. I said, are you sure? I'll pray with you right now. Would you ask the Lord to save you? He said, not now. I mean, he's laying there dying. He's got less than a day or two to live. What'd make a person do that? There's only one thing that'd make a person do that. Their heart is hard. Their heart has been hardened to where now they've said no so long, now they can't say yes. What's he going to do? What's he going to do? Go party? He can't go get drunk. He can't go chase women. He can't go gamble. He can't go to live a lifestyle of sin. He can't. He's laying there dying. And he still says no. You know why? Because every time you say no to God, it'll harden your heart where you can't say yes one of these days. That means if you're here this morning and God's speaking to your heart, it's a dangerous thing to walk out that door without getting your heart right with God this morning. Some of you sit here every single Sunday morning. You listen to me preach. You walk out that door. You keep doing it, and your heart's going to be so hard one of these days you're dying. You won't even get right. You better listen. After 25 years of age, 1 in 10,000 people get saved. After 55 years of age, 1 in 300,000. And after 75, 1 in 750,000 people get saved. I've seen old Riley Parkins get saved. He's about 70. And I've seen another two or three. Old Grady got saved a long time ago. But 95%. Get saved while they're young. You know why? The devil. When you're young, it's the world. When you're middle-aged, it's the flesh. And when you're old, it's the devil's got a hold of you. The pure devil. Because every time you say no to God, it just gets a little harder, a little harder, and a little harder to say yes. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something this morning. This ain't no average Sunday morning. You can't trifle and fool around with God like some of you people's doing. You can't do it. There's a payday coming down the road somewhere. You think, I can just live like I want to. I can do it. Nobody's perfect. So I can do whatever I want. I can sleep with people that I ain't married to. I can do that. You can't do it. There's a price to pay. God still said it. You say, well, everybody messes up. Yeah, I know they do. You can't help the devil tripping you once in a while, but you can help laying in the mud puddle wallowing in it. There is a price to pay for sin. The devil will harden your heart so that one day you'll want to get right and you won't even be able to. It ain't God's fault. God can do anything. That man that I talked to, as far as I know, died and went to hell. He's in hell right now. You know why? Started out when he was a little kid. Saying no, no, no. And then he's middle-aged, like some of y'all are in right now. I'm going to give him an invitation. He said, no, no, no. And then when he's older, no, no. It just the world, the flesh, the devil. I wrote a little poem. I don't do that often, but I wrote this poem years ago. And it illustrates this message that I preach to you. And it says this. No room for Jesus when I'm young and free. No time for church or the Bible for me. No room for Jesus when I'm a grown man. I'm busy making a living, doing the best I can. No room for Jesus when I'm old and gray. I've lived good enough. I'll make it my way. Now as the time comes to die for me, only now it is I'm beginning to see. When at heaven's gates I stand and plea, what a fool I've been. There'll be no room for me. You have room for him today? Could you honestly walk out that door this morning and say, Lord, I've made room for you in my heart? Honestly? I ain't the best Christian's ever been. I'm a long way from it. But I tell you one thing, brother. He's in my heart. And I know he's there. And he's first in my life. I ain't much, but what I got's his. Amen? And that's all God wants us to do. Give him what you've got. Don't be a fool. Make room for Jesus. Let's stand with our heads bowed, please. Every head bowed and every eyes closed. Nobody's moving.